This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Do you know, I'm suffering a little bit today with a little bit of phlegm. And I'm not,
Oh, for God's sake.
Gorgeous, but she's a bit phlegmy.
Do you know why?
Because I had a little bit of cheesecake last night, which was absolutely delicious, and I don't normally allow myself dairy, you see. But it was a really nice. I went to Macnades in Faversham.
Love Macnades.
Macnades, freshly locally grown Christmas trees available to buy at our Faversham and Elwick Place stores, with 5% of the proceeds from all tree sales being donated to Pilgrim's Hospice. Pick up your tree whilst doing your essential grocery shop and help make a difference.
And Paul Babra? Is he still there?
And Paul Babra is still there.
Thursday
and Friday and Saturday with his homemade, absolutely to die for, Indian food.
Mm. Well, this cheesecake, I bought some.
It made you phlegmy.
Well,
yeah, this one.
Cheesecake is my one weakness. It is my one weakness. It really is. And as I said, because of my thyroid, you know, I have low thyroid, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
I avoid dairy, which it makes me feel so much better. But every now and then when it goes off the rails, and this cheesecake that Faversham do is from a small local supplier, it is to die for. It's my one weakness.
I've just gone
had quite a big slice last night, and that's why I'm phlegmy.
I've just gone dairy mad.
Have you?
I've just finished reading a book.
Got your own cow?
I've just finished reading a book, 3,000 Years of the History of Cheese Making in the British Isles.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Do you know there are more than 800 cheese makers in the UK now?
We should do a whole show on Scotland.
On cheese.
Croft, just on cheese. It would be a 3-hour show. Probably.
We should. I've been talking.
You have Curd and Cure on.
Yeah,
they're good.
Well,
they sell that at Macnades.
Yep.
They have been on.
There's a new cheese shop near me on the
Curd and Cure have been on Scotland Croft, but a long time ago. Long time ago.
I've had a tweet. Your last chance to come
Stinking Bishop.
Beg your pardon.
Your last chance to come and join us for our informal and fun free Christmas networking special with Jill Monk, Sarah Ann Lucas, known to us as Bird, and Rosemary Williams. As well as getting to know each other and having some fun, we will be looking at some of the challenges ahead for business. This is a Women in Business lunch taking place tomorrow, manana, the 16th of December at 12:30. It is entirely free. If you want to book your place on it with Jill, Bird and Rosemary, then it's kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk.
I thought Bird had gone to Rwanda.
Not yet.
Am I behind the times?
No, well, she was all due to go, wasn't she? And then the world went into lockdown and they weren't allowed to...
To go.
So she's still waiting to go. They've got a house there and everything.
Oh, I'm sure they'll get there.
Yeah. Telcare have tweeted, have a fab show. Festive wishes from the Telcare team. We'd like to say keep up the good work, guys. So thank you for that. That's Telcare, telecom systems providers over there on the Medway City Estate in Rochester.
And Tracy Ferguson has agreed with me, Paul Andrews.
Oh, no.
She said that she's also noticed that the high street footfall is really low for a normal time, let alone 10 days before Christmas. Mm. And she says she really hopes that everyone shopping online has also used small business rather than the few big online retailers who dominate the market. And that's right. I actually drove to the Business Bunker this morning through Whitstable High Street, which I would never normally do, you know, but you can. Mm. It's quiet, definitely quiet.
Mm. Tracy's also said she's looking forward to my special show
on
the
29th
of December without you and with my favourite interviews.
Mm. Well, I might do it for my surfboard, you know, I might chip in.
Yeah. Right. Do you know what? I think it's time to speak to our next guest. I caught up with John Botting from Maidstone Eats. Why don't we hear what John has to say?
Great idea.
It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome Mr. John Botting onto the Business Bunker Show. I think this might be the second time that John's been on. Good afternoon, John. It's lovely to see you again. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Paul. Yeah, I'm doing very well, thank you. Yeah, good to meet up with you again as well. And yes, you're right, it is the second time. Last time I did it, I was sitting in a car. I remember being interviewed by you on the phone, and I was launching a four networking group at the time. So that's the last time we spoke, which was quite a few years ago.
I was going to say, that was quite a long time ago, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, welcome back after all this time, John. It's lovely to have you back. Why don't you kick off by telling the listeners a little bit about you and a little bit about the new business that you've launched?
Right, I mean, The new business, first of all, that I launched about 5 weeks ago now.
Wow.
It's a food delivery app. So if you're used to using Just Eat, for example, which is the main competitor, then it's a very sort of similar concept to Just Eat. And sort of Deliveroo and Uber Eats, all those types of things. The only difference with Uber Eats and Deliveroo is they are sort of purely a delivery app. So they have their own bikes and drivers that deliver the food on behalf of the restaurants. We don't do that. So we're a little bit more like Just Eat in the fact that we work with restaurants and takeaways who predominantly have, well, they all have it on our app, all have their own delivery drivers. Right. We sort of are an app that just allows people to select a various types of cuisines they may not have tried before in one location and order through the app. That's what it is. What makes us different, Paul, to Just Eat? Because why would anybody want to use us? we are just in Maidstone. That's right. The first thing. Second thing is, I am not dealing with any of the big multinational companies such as McDonald's or, you know, big nationals like Greggs, KFC, those types of businesses. So I've deliberately gone down the route of working in partnership with small individual restaurants and takeaways, and I'm not dealing with the Greggs and the McDonald's and the KFCs of this world. That's the second thing. Third thing that makes us different is we're all about the local community. So the profits, part of the profits that get generated by the sales that we make through the app go back into Maidstone, into the local community. So I've already started supporting one local charity. I want to support more, but I need to make some money first. We put back into the local community. So a percentage of everything that I generate profit wise, I've sort of guaranteed that we will plough back into the local community. That is supporting local charities. That's Maidstone-based charities, Maidstone-based clubs, sports clubs, kids clubs, that sort of thing in sponsorship deals, and supporting the businesses that use our platform in doing free advertising for them, you know, that we pay for. So that's, in a snapshot, that's sort of what we are and how we're different from the people like Just Eat.
Fantastic. It's really interesting. There's a load of things to kind of dissect in that and look at. One, incredibly brave of you to start a business in the middle of a shutdown.
Yes.
but it's a truism of business, though, John, that people that start businesses in recessions, in banking crises and stuff like that, tend to have the strongest businesses, because if you can launch a business under those circumstances, it can work under any circumstances. So all power to you for doing that. I mean, one of the things that I love about what you've said is, and I think this is a big thing that's going to be much more prevalent as we head into 2021, is this focus on localism. You know, a lot of people have got annoyed that big multinationals have kind of usurped people by doing deliveries. One of the things that makes me laugh a little bit about that is that I'm old enough to remember when local businesses used to do deliveries. And when I was a kid, I used to do deliveries with a push bike with a basket on the front for a local shop. And I also went out every morning in an electric vehicle to deliver milk and butter and cheese. So local delivery was a thing that was done by local businesses many years ago, and we kind of stopped doing it. And now I'm really pleased to see that we've kind of restarting it, but doing it on a local basis is the thing that we need to do, because that's the only way we're going to keep local businesses going. So I love what you're doing, and I think that's a brilliant business model. And it's interesting that you said that you're not actually doing the deliveries yourself. So just tell us that again. How does it actually work?
Well, so for I mean, Just Eat, when they were launched, I mean, Just Eat is a prime example. I mean, you know, again, all credit to the guy behind it, who was an Anglo-Indian who set it up a few years back. He no longer owns it. It's now a multinational company owned by a Dutch company, and they operate in Europe. Yep. You know, their call centers are offshore as usual. You know, so the concept was a great concept. And I'm sorry, Paul, but actually I lost my thread there. What was the question again?
I was just asking you to go over again this model of not actually doing the deliveries.
So that's how Just Eat started, and predominantly that's how Just Eat still are. Right. And then you had the likes of Deliveroo coming along, and then Uber Eats, who had their own. Well, they had a delivery service that they offered to restaurants, and that was appealing. So Just Eat have now, within the last year or so, they have branched into that. So they now offer two services to restaurants. I'm not saying that I'm not going to be doing that, but I'm basically following the way Just Eat started, which was just offering restaurants at the moment that can do their own deliveries.
Yeah.
What I didn't mention just a little while ago, the other difference between us and Just Eat and all the others actually, is the commission we charge the restaurants.
Right.
So Just Eat will charge 13%.
Right.
If it's just on their app, so that's without their delivery service.
Wow.
We charge 7.5%.
Right.
If you add the VAT into that, we're about 9.9%, and Just Eat is nearly 20%.
Right.
So it's literally half the price for somebody who uses a restaurant on our app as opposed to using Just Eat.
Sorry to interrupt, John. Can I just make sure I understand this? That percentage, who pays that? Is that the restaurant that pays it or the customer?
It's a commission, Paul. So it's a sales commission, basically.
Right, okay, got it. Okay.
So what they do is that's their only cost. We absorb all card transaction fees within that as well. So
right.
If somebody's paying with a card, credit card, debit card, whatever, that's absorbed within our fees.
Right.
So that's all they pay. So we're doing advertising for them, obviously. We're generating business to them, hopefully new business going to them. And just by being on the platform.
Right.
So that's a sort of a basic model. But if you add the delivery into it, so Just Eat will charge 30%.
Wow.
Uber and Deliveroo both charge between 30 and 35%.
Right.
And then there's additional charges on top of that as well. So if you just think about a restaurant, for example, using Deliveroo or Just Eat, whoever, you know, they've got at least 30% coming off going to that, plus they're having to pay a service charge on top of that as well. So they've got, plus they've got all their running costs of their staff and everything else like that. So it's a massive amount that's going out to these platforms. And they're just raking it in, Paul. They're absolutely raking it in.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Funny enough, but I like the fact that you were saying that a lot of local kind of takeaways and what have you have their own delivery people now. Last weekend, I went to my local Chinese takeaway, the Happy Valley in St. Michael's, and I walked in, and I was the only one in there, and I thought, blimey, this is going to be quick. It wasn't, though, because they had about 50 deliveries to do before me.
They
have their own delivery people.
Yeah,
and about
most places do.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Right, so and Maidstone Eats does what it says on the tin. It's for Maidstone. So what's the geographic area that you're covering?
It's basically ME 14 15 16 17 19 and 20.
Okay,
so basically, so all of the Maidstone postcodes.
So it's quite a big area.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Within that, obviously, you're looking after local restaurants, takeaways and food emporiums. Are you talking to people like pubs that are currently doing takeaways, or is it strictly the traditional takeaways that you...
No, we're open to anything, Paul. So, okay. I mean, you know, anybody who's able to do a delivery, we're able to work with. The only it's not even a restriction, to be honest, but we just need to be careful of it, is drink deliveries. So that's something else that's open to us.
Right. Okay.
Alcoholic drink deliveries. That's open to us. Meat delivery. I had somebody approach me a couple of weeks ago who's doing fruit and veg boxes £10 and delivering them. But it wouldn't quite work with him because he covered quite a big area. He was based in Sittingbourne and he covered quite a big area and he has specific days in specific towns. Right. So with the app, you sort of go on and you ask for a delivery as to when you want it, you know. And
if it's
that day, you can cope with it. But if he says, well, I can only deliver in Maidstone on a Wednesday and somebody's ordering the Tuesday before, the Thursday before, it's just that's not going to work. But something like that could work.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think pandemic aside, I think, home deliveries of stuff is a way forward. I mean, without being funny, Amazon has been popular long before the pandemic. People getting annoyed with Amazon, I have no idea why. They came up with a business model that people like. That's why they make billions of dollars every year, because people like the convenience of going online, ordering something and having it delivered in the morning.
So
I don't worry about them. What I'm saying to small businesses, you've got to do the same. You've got to compete. There's plenty of market share there for you. Delivering stuff to your local community is a thing. We used to do it, as I said at the start of the interview. It's something that was always a thing that we did anyway. So going back to that, it's great. And it's interesting that I think, just as a general point, that a lot of local independent retailers have started to look at their models and go, well, do you know what? We're better off being online and doing deliveries rather than having incredibly expensive high street premises.
You mentioned about pubs, and I did, once I knew about the lockdown, was happening last time, that's before we went into tier three, I approached a few pubs that were doing food, but none of them were interested. The response I got was, we're going to lose our grants if we start doing takeaways. I was surprised because I thought that they would sort of go for it. Right. But to be honest with you, Paul, where I am at the moment, I'll be very candid about this, is I need more downloads of the app. That's where I've hit a little bit of a wall. There's plenty of businesses out there, and I'm not actively looking at the moment to put more restaurants and takeaways onto the platform. If somebody approaches me, and they have done, they're decent, I'll, of course, take them on.
Right.
I had my legs chopped away from me by dear old Facebook. I all of a sudden had a Facebook page that I was paying to do paid ads on, promoting that. I don't know what happened, to be honest with you. Right. All of a sudden I lost admin control of that page. And then I got an email from Facebook telling me my business account had been shut down, literally shut down, because I'd breached Facebook advertising rules. Don't know what I'd done, because all I was doing was advertising food. So so I've lost, that was sort of like 2 weeks before I launched.
Yeah.
I lost everything like that. I cannot advertise on Facebook anymore.
Right.
That is the best medium for me to get out the message. What makes us different? Why would anybody use Maidstone Eats app when they can go onto Just Eat?
Yeah,
they don't know the story. I can't get that backstory out there, which I was able to do with Facebook advertising and the page. So I've set up a new page, but I cannot advertise on that page because I set up a second page. They shut it down literally within 24 hours, and I've now set up a third page, which I haven't put my phone number on it or anything, and that's lasted about 4 weeks. But I can't advertise, so it's very difficult to get the message out there.
It's bizarre, isn't it? And you're not the first person to tell me they've had problems with Facebook and this.
I know.
I can only assume that Facebook have got some kind of algorithm running that is picking up the wrong thing. I've heard two or three people tell me the same thing, and they're at a loss to understand what they've done wrong. And of course, like all these big tech companies, you can't talk to them because they don't want
to talk to them. No. And what's happened is, you know, they send you an email and they tell you that your account has been, well, mine was taken down. Yeah. And you can't appeal it. It's when you go back in to try and contact support and you put in your business account number, it says that account's not recognised.
Yeah.
And you can't talk to them because you're talking to somebody in the Philippines or India or wherever their call centres are, and they don't really understand, you know, and they can't deal with your query because all they're saying is that business account doesn't exist.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy, and I think we've been let down quite a lot by the big tech companies just recently, who, I mean, I've suffered as well on various platforms with really stupid algorithms, and luckily, on one particular platform, I happen to know personally one of the very senior managers, and I rang them up and said, look, you know, I've been stopped from doing this, and he went, oh, sorry, mate, it was the algorithm, I'll restore you. But yeah, it's crazy stuff. Anyway, we're going to help you try and put the word out for you, John. Love what you're doing. All power to you. If people want to use the app, what do they do? Just download it from the App Store.
Yeah, basically, there's two ways of doing it. Going on to the Play Store or you know, the Apple App Store, whatever, and just putting in Maidstone Eats.
Yeah.
That's EATS, Maidstone Eats, and you'll find the app on either of those, or go on to the website. From the website, you can actually order through the website if you want to,
right.
Or on the home page of the website, you can click either the Play Store or the App Store icon, and it will take you, if you're obviously on your mobile, it will take you there to download it directly from there. So the website is maidstoneeats.co.uk.
MaidstoneEats.co.uk. We will put a link to that on the Business Bunker Radio website. That will stay there forever. John, it's a pleasure to talk to you as always. We wish you continued and much success with your venture. Stay safe and we'll see you again soon.
All right, lovely. Thank you very much for having me on, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
Pleasure.
Cheers.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, didn't you?
No, I pressed that by accident.
I do love a fanfare. Yeah,
I pressed that by accident.
A bit premature.
Yeah.
That does happen at, you know, some people's ages, of course.
I've got, I'll now get to find it again and re-queue it up. But second half of the show, the Business Bunker Show is pleased to be sponsored by Spinnerjet, the facilities management company, commercial cleaning, grounds maintenance, jet washing and more. You can follow them on the Twitter at Spinnerjet, or you can email them info@spinnerjet.co.uk to find out more about the broad range of services that they offer. What you got?
Well, if you weren't in the Christmas spirit before, you most certainly will be now with Realia's Christmas party packs. What do they include exactly, you may ask? So the Christmas cutout templates, it's time to make an elfie, or take an elfie. It's never been easier to give your photos that really festive feel than with our Christmas cutout templates. Whether you're a Santa or perhaps more of an elf type of person, we'll have a range range of templates for you to choose from and use for your photos this year. So there's also a Christmas cocktail or a mocktail recipe. Now, you're more of a mocktail person, aren't you, Paul Andrews?
Something like that.
If you can't treat yourself in December, then when can you? Mistle toast to the holiday season with one of Realia's special cocktails or mocktails, whatever takes your fancy. While we may not be able to party in person, why not download the recipes to share with your friends and family and make your own at home and have a 2020s version of a festive gathering, a good old Zoom call. You can go to www.realiamarketing.co.uk/kicking-off-the-festive-season in style with Realia. That's the only way I got through 2020 lockdowns, with making little grapefruit daiquiris.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Diamond Circle Weddings, Paul and Polly.
Hello.
Said, we were late to the party. Mind you, this tweet was an hour ago. We are late to the party, but we are listening live. And then they've gone hashtag together electric dreams, business bunkers. So thank you for that.
They really were listening.
Yeah, Diamond Circle Weddings. Give them a follow on the Twitter. Their Twitter handle is DC Weddings UK. I've also had the Recovery Well. Good afternoon, Business Bunker. I hope you have a great show, and I would love a shout out, please. I've been forced to stay at home this week as a person in my daughter's school bubble tested positive, so she is isolating. Hence, I have to stay home to look after her. Wishing you all a happy, healthy Christmas to everybody. Well, thank you so much for that. Do give them a follow on the Twitter, Recovery Well. Let's find their Twitter handle. Recovery Well is their handle.
See what they did there. If your Gravesham-based business has fallen, or it makes a difference if you put them around the wrong way, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Has fallen through the cracks of financial support, which is a little bit what Alison was talking about earlier with the FSB. Please look again at the Gravesham Discretionary Grant Scheme, the ARG, ARG it's called, which is providing £500 grants. A Business Bunker blog by Economic Development Team at Gravesham Council can be seen there too. You can find it on kentbusinessradio.co.uk with a /Gravesham. So, Paul, is that only for businesses in that area?
Particular one is a special for Gravesham.
Well, what if you're a mobile van, you could just go and park?
No, well, it's where you pay your rates, isn't it? But there is talk of some other council, because it's discretionary, so it's up to the local council.
Yeah.
And there are talks of other councils around Kent that are doing that, but they haven't told me whether they are or not. But Gravesham have, so I've read it out. But I think that there are some other councils that are doing similar things.
It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Good.
Zeenat Narani's been on. What?
Is there a new show starting yet?
I'm just about to tell you why. You're so presumptuous, aren't you?
Yeah, I preempted.
Yeah, yeah.
On every, always one step ahead.
She said, yeah, Jules, my show. She says, my radio show, Mindset Matters, exploring mental health and wellbeing horizons, will be sponsored by Mindberry and Imperial Real Estate Group from January 2021. Thanks for your sponsorship to help support many people. That's Mindset Matters. It's going to be every Friday at 11 a.m. for an hour, and they're due to start on January the 8th, I do believe. So that's Mindset Matters with Zeenat Narani every Friday, 11 a.m. here on channelradio.co.uk.
The Kent and Medway Business Summit will return for its fourth year, and it's going to be, it's a diary date this, it's Friday the 15th of January. I will have emerged by then, Paul Andrews. So it's the fourth year on the 15th of January with a clear focus on business resilience, renewal and strategy for a return to growth. It's hosted annually at the University of Kent by Kent Business School and its partners, the Federation of Small Business, the FSB, Institute of Directors, the IOD, and Locating Kent. And the Kent and Medway Business Summit brings together some 400 businesses and policymakers to debut key schemes. Expert keynote speakers will cover topics on the economy and the latest developments in Brexit. Workshops will deliver insights into areas including productivity, infrastructure, placemaking and skills, and offer the opportunity for businesses to have their say on developing a strategy. And it'll be hosted virtually using the exciting platform Remo, which offers unparalleled opportunities for networking collaboration. You can find out more by going to 3w's dot kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk/register. I bet that's on the Kent Business Radio website, which is much easier to get onto, I think.
It certainly is. kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Kent Summit if you want to find out there.
And charity is invited to apply for free marketing support. This year has been exceptionally tough, so marketeers at Story 22 want to offer two charities the chance to participate in a Mastering Your Marketing programme, which is worth £15,000. Sonia Whittam, who's an MD of Kent-based full-service marketing agency, Story 22, said they've been closely watching the devastating effects of the pandemic and what it's had, the effect it's had on charities across the country. So they've been very moved and worried about the long-term consequences on the charitable sector. And so they're going to do their bit to help. You can find out more by going to www.story22.co.uk to see if you can get some help for your charity.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Sound of Spitfire, the radio station up there in Spalding in Lincolnshire. And they say, sorry, we can't join you live this afternoon on the Business Bunker Show, but do have a great show. So thank you, guys. Do have a listen to Sound of Spitfire as well. I have some fantastic music shows on there. Do you know what?
What?
I can press my button again
now.
Oh, the fanfare. Properly. Yeah.
Do love a fanfare.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
I've got a personal message here from your local area Federation of Small Businesses team. They say 2020 has been an extraordinary year for everyone involved in business. It's been anxious, unpredictable and often scary for many FSB members in the South East. But through it all, your determination, ingenuity and entrepreneurship has been inspiring to see. It's been our privilege to support you through these challenging months. We hope our virtual events have also helped, whether that be networking or our support webinars, and we look forward to resuming a full programme in 2021. Locally, we've been working with stakeholders to ensure the voice of small businesses is heard. Staff and volunteers continue to represent you on local council boards, and we've had numerous meetings with members of parliament. This year, we've begun to use Facebook as well as Twitter to share our policy and event news. None of us knows exactly how 2021 will look, but there is one thing you can be certain of. The Federation of Small Businesses will be there to support you every step of the way. On behalf of the local FSB team of staff and volunteers, we hope you and your family enjoyed a Christmas break. Here's wishing for more positive news in 2021. And that's from David Millam, who's the South East Regional Chair, Deborah Turner, who's the Kent and Medway Area Leader, Tracy Westwell, Westell, who's also the Kent and Medway area leader, Alison Palmer, the development manager, and Sarah Lilly, who's the operational support coordinator. So thank you for that. And on that, I'm going to give you a lot of details now about things that are happening, and then at the end I'll give you a link, and the link to all of them can be found in one place, so you only need one link. So coming up is the FSB Maidstone virtual networking event, and that's taking place on Wednesday the 27th of January, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Join Peter Searle for relaxed networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. And then on Thursday the 28th of January, there's a Women in Business brunch, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30. It's not brunch, that's breakfast, isn't it? Join us for virtual networking hosted by FSB Folkestone area host Wendy Flanagan of The Holistic Home. Promote your business and meet fellow entrepreneurs in breakout rooms. There's also a business boot camp, Reboot 2021, and that's happening on Monday the 25th of January, 9:30 until 1 p.m. And this event is designed to benefit entrepreneurs, the self-employed and small businesses across the UK. You can find out all of these events plus any new events that are listed by going to the same place, which is the kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, and all of the events that the FSB run in Kent and Medway can be found there and can be booked through that page. So do check that out. The FSB also launched a pre-Christmas campaign to encourage people to buy from and celebrate their local and independent businesses. The unprecedented pressure on small businesses throughout 2020 means they desperately need a boost from their local communities in the run-up to Christmas. that Love Your Small Independent Business campaign is asking local people to not only actively support their local independent businesses in Kent by using the hashtag I Love Small Business online, but also to share any images of the products and services they buy in their local shops, and maybe some photographs of you shopping in your local shop using that hashtag as well, just to remind you, which is hashtag I Love Small Business. So do check all of that out. There's also a membership page under the FSB tab on the Kent Business Radio website. If you go into the website homepage, there's a tab at the top that says FSB, and you can find all the Kent and Medway FSB news there too. Do check it out.
And Intune PR have said, the new abnormal, we've paused your show, The Beauty of the Internet, while a Zoom happened, but can also listen back later, The Beauty of Internet too. Thank you for that. Cool. And I was talking about, you know, the high streets being quiet, and we've had a tweet from Victoria Williams. She's a new listener. Right. She's at VRW123, and she's an author and illustrator in Hanwell and Ealing. And she says, it's not what I've seen in my bit of London. My local indie shops are busy, and I know people are making a point of shopping with them rather than the chain stores. So that's great news.
That's good to hear, isn't it? It's good to hear. I mean, obviously, there's a bit more activity in London than there is out here in the sticks, but even so, it's good to hear that people are using local suppliers.
What upsets me is we have all the visitors in Whitstable, and they're all heaving around the harbour, and they go to Costa Coffee and get their coffee, and we've got some really nice independent cafes and stuff. And I was saying
they don't do that in Canterbury.
What do they do?
They come to fund coffee at Fruitworks. Is where they come.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But it's, you know, we have got some really nice little cafes and things that do homemade cakes and things, and they go to Costa Coffee, and it worries me a bit.
Well, Tracy Ferguson is saying the same. I totally agree, Jill. She says, so many people in Strood are choosing Starbucks and KFC when there are great indie cafes literally a few steps over the road. Mm. I feel like walking around with a placard saying, no.
Yeah, exactly. Totally agree, Tracy. Mm. It's sort of, you kind of wonder if they're lemmings, you know, like.
Well, but to be serious for a moment, the whole ethos behind chains is that you know what you're going to get. Ray Kroc, who was the founder of McDonald's, his entire thing was, it didn't matter where you went in the world,
exactly,
you knew what you were going to get, because they were all identical.
Did you watch the film? I think somebody put a lettuce in it or something, and he went absolutely mad. Yeah, it's worth watching that film. Yeah. I can't remember what it's called.
And that's the issue that independent people face with chains, is that unless people look at a cafe and they go, but I don't know what I'm going to get in there. It could be a greasy spoon. I don't know. Whereas McDonald's, I know what I'm going to get. Or KFC, I know what I'm going to get. Or Costa Coffee, I know what I'm going to get. That's not an excuse. I'm not saying you should do that, because you need to try things. Because by the same token, you don't know. You may have missed the most wonderful experience ever. Because a lot of homemade stuff, you know, like we were talking about Paul Barbara earlier, who makes homemade Indian food to die for.
Yeah.
To absolutely die for. And, you know, unless you go and try it and experience it, how will you ever know?
But then Indian, there aren't many Indian chains, are there?
No, there's not.
You can't go to sort of Costa Indian, can you?
No. Because,
which is interesting. Why aren't there? Why isn't there an Indian chain?
Well, to be honest, isn't it? No, but to be honest, it's fairly similar. If you think about Indian or curry houses and Chinese takeaways, you don't need a menu.
No.
You know what's on the menu.
And unless it's a specialist one, because there's one in Faversham that's beautiful with kangaroo curry and things.
Yeah, but they're very few and far between. They're very few. Most takeaways you could order
your Sagaloo.
Yeah. You could order without ever seeing the menu, because everybody has. So again, it's the same issue. Mm. It's that uniformity. Okay, they may cook it slightly differently, because, you know, where they're
some are better than others, of course.
Yeah, of course. But outside of that, it's that knowing what you're going to get. That's the thing that you have to overcome.
Well, that's what I mean. I think humans are. I was watching them in the high street when I was going to the lovely Shore shop, and. People are going into the chains. They are going into, you know, the white company and, you know, things that they know.
Yeah.
And I just wish people would just step out of that square sometimes and try go into a different shop.
It's like anything, though, isn't it? It's like any echo chamber. It's like, no matter what you're talking about, politics or anything, people hang around in the same place,
yeah.
The place where they feel comfortable. They don't like to be challenged.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's easy to go through life doing the same thing over and over again.
I mean, it's like if you watch what people wear, you know, people, most people dress in navy and black and grey, don't they, in the winter? Especially you. But, you know, I don't. I'm quite unusual, but people mostly dress.
She wears purple.
I wear purple and I wear orange and I wear red and, you know, I love green.
Are you autumnal?
Yeah, I am possibly. I've never had my colours done. I just do my own. But Tracy's like me. She wears bright. Tracy Ferguson, doesn't she? She wears nice bright colours. Mm. When you look at people generally, they're, you know, look at the amount of Under Armour sweatshirts that are out at the moment. If you go anywhere, young people are all wearing Under Armour. You see it in the high street. Everybody's wearing.
It's trends,
and,
isn't it?
And what's the North Face?
Yeah.
Everywhere, you know. Why do we do that? Why do we see it somewhere and then everybody goes out and buys it?
Yeah.
It's very strange, isn't it?
It's conforming to a tribe. It's what I was just saying. It's everybody gets into a tribe and they go, unless I've got Under Armour or unless I've got Nike or unless I've got this or that, I'm not up with the vibe.
Yeah.
And that is, as far back as I can remember, it's always been the same. Even when I was a kid, you know, you had gangs of people.
You had your Johnny Seven Gun.
Yeah. You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Two-tone suits and...
Yeah.
And
he's a real tasty geezer.
Yeah, and brogue shoes,
yeah.
And what was the overcoat? The Crombie overcoats,
yeah.
And Ben Sherman shirts. Mm. All those kind of things, always. It's always, you know, conforming and being part of, you know, the zeitgeist. And those
Lambretta scooters.
Yeah, but those few individuals that are avant-garde and...
out there.
And just different are actually trendsetters, because what happens is they then follow them. I read a really interesting, I can't remember who it was. It was a really famous band, and I really can't remember who it was. I'm really sorry. Anyway, they turned up to do a gig somewhere in San Francisco, yeah, and the lead guitarist of this really well-known band, it might be the Foo Fighters or something like that. It was a really big band.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, for some reason, in the van they went in, his shoes went missing, right?
Really?
His shoes went missing, right? So he walked to a charity shop, and the only shoes they had in his size were a pair of Hush Puppies.
Right.
And he bought them, yeah? And he went on stage in these Hush Puppies. Within a year, Hush Puppy had come back from the dead and was selling 100,000 pairs of shoes a year. Having been moribund for half a decade because nobody wore Hush Puppies.
Well, of course, this is what's happening on Instagram, isn't it? You know, you get an influencer.
Exactly. And so that's what happens. You know, all of a sudden, Hush Puppies became good reason.
Sales of eucalyptus oil, Paul Andrews.
Will go through the roof
now. Exactly.
Because they've heard about it.
Exactly.
They've heard about brushing your bog in eucalyptus.
I had some neighbours round for a little soiree a while back when we were allowed, and we cracked some oysters when they came with some cheapish champagne, not anything special, an Aldi actually, but it's an organic one, so I don't get a hangover from it. And we cracked open these oysters, and then about 4 days later she came knocking on my door in the dead of night. She'd been phoning me, you know, very urgent, and I went down in my dressing gown, and she was on the doorstep. She said, "Jules, could I borrow your oyster knife?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, you know." She said, she's about five doors down, and not sugar or anything, but an oyster knife. She said, "Only, you know, when we had those oysters at yours, we've just got some friends round, and we thought, you know," and that's how it happens, isn't it? She said, "We just so enjoyed it." But really, it was about, you know, do we really love oysters? Some people do, some don't. Really, it was about the ambience, the evening, the music, and, you know, it was that memory that they had.
Of course, and that's how trends get started, that's how things happen. And they often start as an outlier, you know, with someone that's avant-garde or what's the word I'm looking for? Just innovative or different or weird or strange or whatever. They start to wear something, you know, and then all of a sudden it catches on, you know.
Yeah.
And you can think about that and all of that, you know, those fashion trends that happen. And people just follow them. And then what you start off with a fashion trend that's really expensive. Then it gets made into a mass market product.
Yeah.
And then people get bored and move on to the next trend. And that happens with with clothing, with food, with all kinds of things, doesn't it?
You know, look at paninis.
Yeah.
I mean, where did that come from? Suddenly every cafe in the world is selling paninis, which always makes me laugh. You know, but it is a trend. Not really getting bagels at the moment as a trend, are we? But a panini, you know, I mean, you can get a bagel, but paninis are everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, it's funny how some things move and some things don't. It's like when years and years ago when I lived and worked in New York, I used to love buying pretzels a street.
You mean
cart.
Those little crispy things?
No, because a pretzel isn't like a pretzel's about this big.
Oh.
He says, listener, holding his hands up about 9 inches across.
Okay.
A pretzel, a New York pretzel is huge, yeah? And it's dough, it's bread.
Okay.
Yeah? It's salty bread. The thing that we call pretzels here are like crisps.
Well, they're what Virgin Air always gives me online.
Yeah, those
and it
little crispy things. Well, they're not real pretzels.
I go, can I have nuts or crisps?
And that's exactly my point, is that those pretzels, the big ones, have never made it across the Atlantic.
Oh.
You do see them occasionally somewhere in London, but in New York and other American cities, you know, like you get a hot dog stand or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
There are pretzel stands.
Dirty dog.
So, you know, there are pretzel stands that sell these dirty, great
real
big
ones.
Real pretzels.
Well, let's start one up.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm not saying that you have to have one, but I'm saying.
Oh, I'd like one, and now I want one.
I'm saying some things transport and some things don't, and it's always hard to tell why. And what starts those kind of trends?
It's like a shawarma bar. You know, you go to London, a shawarma.
A
I love a shawarma. Shawarma, Arabic.
And what is it?
Up in London. So it's beautiful shredded lamb.
It's a doner kebab, you mean?
We think like that, but it's shawarma.
She's trying to schmooze me that she's had a doner kebab and called it something different.
But only ever on a night out would you have a doner kebab after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But a shawarma, I mean, you know, in Mayfair and Edgware Road and, you know, Arabic quarters, they have shawarma bars with, you know, juice, fresh juice and stuff. And you can get tahini all over it drizzled, and it's just delicious. You know, I keep saying, I've got a Moroccan chef friend, I keep saying, should we open one? But it's just not the right climate at the moment, is it?
Well, it's a really lovely Moroccan restaurant in Canterbury.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Cafe Marek.
That's where I went the night before the lockdown as our final evening
Did
out,
you?
Me and the new husband.
Yeah, Cafe Marek's lovely.
It's very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maresk, I think you're...
Cafe Maresk.
Yeah.
What did I call it?
Mareg.
Moreg.
You had it in a Moroccan Moreg. Accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're thinking of Scotch eggs, you know, because that is a substantial meal.
It's a substantial Moroccan meal, a Scotch egg.
Yeah, you like that little booth there, don't you?
Yeah, downstairs in the basement.
Downstairs, best place for you.
I want you to all listen to the Business Diaries podcasts. The Business Diaries, for those that don't know, was an event when we were allowed to have such things, where we heard from 5 business owners, personal stories, and it was so popular that when the lockdown came and they couldn't run the events anymore, they turned them into podcasts. Of course, what they intend to do is carry on with the podcast and relaunch the live events when they can. But the Business Diaries podcast, business storytelling that uncovers the stories about the personal journeys of business owners, often funny, sometimes sad, intriguing, yet always entertaining. You can follow them by going to thebusinessdiaries.podbean.com. And I think there's 12 podcasts now, but I add to them all the time. So do give them a follow, thebusinessdiaries.podbean.com.
So I'm just looking at a little tweet that Michelle Rue Jr., who, you know, loves me, they're saying they just had a message from their crab suppliers around the corner here in Kingsbridge. This is not Michelle Rue, it's someone that he follows. They are having to stop production because of London Tier 3. And they're saying this is not just about restaurants, as we were saying, with the FSP. The impact on suppliers is horrendous too. Yeah, it goes right the way down.
Yeah, if you're a seafood restaurant, it's all the fishermen that catch the seafood.
Yep.
It's the transport and logistics that move it.
Exactly.
Our economy is interlinked, and people just don't seem to understand that.
From the 1st of March, the way VAT is collected in the construction industry is changing, poor builders.
Yeah.
Find out how your construction business will be affected and what you need to do about it by joining a live webinar. It is, you can choose the date and the time, so that's good.
Yeah.
So you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and you will find it there under events, would it be?
Yep.
I would think.
Yep.
How to apply the VAT reverse charge for construction services. Find out all about that there.
Cool. Applications are open for Kent and Medway small businesses to kickstart young people's employment. The FSB has confirmed it has teamed up with Adecco Working Ventures to help small firms across small firms access government's Kickstart scheme. They urge small employers to apply now to create Kickstart roles from November onwards and tackle the looming rise in young people's unemployment. To tackle increasing numbers of young people aged 16 to 24 struggling to find work and on universal credit, there's a new partnership with Adecco Working Ventures. They'll form a new national gateway and intermediary partner for the UK government's Kickstart scheme, which covers England, Scotland and Wales, and will also be delivering a regional programme of webinars and other resources to encourage, inspire and help small businesses to get involved and make the most of the new scheme. If you want to find out more about it, you can go to fsb.org.uk/kickstart. That's fsb.org.uk/kickstart.
Protect yourself from scams. You can stay vigilant about scams, and there are a lot around at the moment. They may mimic government messages as a way of appearing authentic. You can search scams on gov.uk for information on how to recognise genuine HMRC contact. You can also forward suspicious emails claiming to be from HMRC to phishing, phishing, at hmrc.gov.uk, and texts to 60599, and go on to the gov.uk website there as well to have a look about searching for cyber aware. There are also people knocking on doors in my area in Whitstable in sort of high-vis jackets, saying that they're investigating from the council carbon monoxide and things like that, knocking on, targeting elderly.
Tracy Ferguson has said, fabulous Paul Jewell's discussion about trends and brands.
Oh.
This is what makes your Business Bunker repartee so brilliant. Yeah, oh, thank you, Tracy.
We were up all night rehearsing that, though,
weren't
we?
Yeah. We've been working on that for ages. Yeah.
There's the Construction South East Awards 2021. Mm. How would you like to have an award winning thingy-bob next to the name of your business?
A thingy-bob.
Well, it doesn't say what it is.
How would you like to have the award next to your name? That's what it's saying.
Okay, thingy-bob. I thought it might be a little statue or something. Like the Oscars. Right. We want to recognise the achievements, developments and innovations around the South East. Application is quick and easy. You can enter for free now. kentbusinessradio.co.uk /business-event.
Fantastic. We've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to our guests this week, the lovely Alison Palmer, who's the Business Development Manager for the FSB Kent and Medway, to John Botting of Maidstone Eats, to my co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin. We'll be back with our Christmas special next Tuesday, the 26th of December.
Wearing a trend.
Full Santa outfit we'll be back with
Jingle
next week.
Bells.
Thank you to everybody that tweeted, emailed and participated in the show. Without you, we have no show. So thank you so much for all of that. We'll be back next week with another roundup of small business news and information and stuff. Have a great week, everybody. Stay safe. See you all soon.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.